Hi, yes. My name's Jen Sanchez. Thanks. Let me know if you can't hear me. So this is Ban the Box, an evaluation of the hospital hiring practices for formerly incarcerated individuals in New York State. It's a little misleading because this is still an ongoing thing. The title's a little misleading because it's an ongoing thing. And really in this presentation, I'll give you kind of a bare bones of what's happening in New York State and then some questions about where we could go from there. So I work in Montefiore Medical Center. I work specifically in the Bronx Transitions Clinic, which services returning citizens who are formerly incarcerated, who are coming home, and who generally have chronic health conditions. Again, I have no relationships to disclose at this time. So what we did with this evaluation, it's really just an audit study that we did in order to support advocacy regarding this campaign. I'm going to go more into what Ban the Box is, introduce it to you in case you're not familiar with it, and also let you know why we specifically targeted hospitals and healthcare systems. But we started with this research question. We started with what is the prevalence of the conviction incarceration questions on hospital employment applications. And we also wanted to know what factors could possibly explain the presence or absence of these such questions within hospital job applications. So formerly incarcerated individuals have experienced large disparities in health. People who have are returning citizens or justice-involved patients, there's big gaps in their access to both medical and dental care. Individuals who have chronic health conditions and who are incarcerated, once they're released, they experience a discontinuity in their health care. So patients who are HIV positive, who are Hep C positive, who are on treatment, experience large gaps in their treatment, which then affects their overall health. Also, we know that people who are returning citizens have high rates of emergency department use. They're not going to regular care, where they're just waiting until things are getting to the breaking point and going to the ED. We also know formerly incarcerated individuals often experience very big barriers and challenges when trying to obtain employment. Out of UCLA, there's been a lot of qualitative research showing that people who are returning citizens, they feel the stigma that is placed on them, and they also see questions regarding their criminal history as barriers to obtaining employment, and also as something that they actually run away from. So if they see that on a job application, we know that they see it as a barrier, and why should I bother? And this is really important. And also, employment is linked to better health outcomes overall in a lifetime. So this is very important for both the individual and for the communities that they return home to. For the individual, they're less likely, if they have stable employment, they're less likely to recidivate. They'll have better health outcomes with employment overall in their lifetime, and earn a greater income. A lot of times here in the U.S., health insurance is tagged to your job. So if you don't have a job, it's more difficult to get health insurance and to have regular primary care. It increases their likelihood of stability in their community with their families, and also increases their social standing and gives them a sense of self-worth. Within the community itself, with their community members, they're less likely to recidivate, and so you have more members who are contributing to your community. And it also increases public safety. With less recidivism, there's less crime going on as well. And for that, the communities they return to, they have healthier economies. You have more citizens in your community who are taxpayers, who are consumers, and it also means the less money is going from government agencies going into just criminal justice systems like courts and prisons. Here in the U.S., discrimination based on previous incarceration is illegal. This falls under the Title VII Civil Rights Act of 1964. The EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, enforces this. So what this says is that it is, an employer cannot bar an otherwise qualified applicant from a job solely based on their criminal history. There are industries such as healthcare and childcare who do have regulations regarding criminal history and employment, but so there's no state or federal law surrounding the job. The employer cannot ban solely based on criminal history. But the law does provide employers to inquire about criminal history. So it's very common for employers to do background checks and to have questions on job applications regarding arrests, conviction and incarceration. So a lot of times, many employers still screen job applicants based on their incarceration. And so why hospitals? Like, why do we target that? Hospitals are actually very very desirable for anyone in, you know, in the employment field who's looking for a job, particularly for formerly incarcerated. Hospitals have consistently shown to be stable employers. And according to the American Hospital Association, during our most recent economic recession, hospitals actually showed a growth during that time in their employment. Also, hospitals and healthcare is the third largest employment industry in the U.S. So this is a huge branch of opportunities for you know, returning citizens to actually get employment and get stabilized in their lives. And for hospitals, because of their size and because of their growth and their stability, they're actually in a very unique position to lead by example to other industries. Hospitals can improve the community's health beyond providing medical care. And there's actually been no literature regarding healthcare and formerly incarcerated in employment, or very little. So I want to introduce you to Montefiore Medical Center. This is where I work. This is in the Bronx, New York. This Montefiore was founded in 1884, so it has been around for 130 years. It's a mainstay in the Bronx. It is also the teaching university for Albert Einstein Medical College. So we're also training future doctors that will be hopefully working in the Bronx as well. Montefiore is consistently nationally ranked for several of our pediatric specialties. We're considered high performing for majority of our adult specialties. And out of the 54 hospitals within the five boroughs in New York City, Montefiore is ranked number 15. So we're an old institution, we're established in the community, and we're also a center of medical excellence. So not just, you know, particular individuals in the Bronx, but also generations of families in the Bronx consider Montefiore their medical home. And so Montefiore is, this picture right here, this is actually Moses Campus. This is just one hospital within the Montefiore system. Montefiore actually consists of six hospital campuses, and then beyond that, there's numerous community health clinics, numerous ambulatory care clinics, and numerous urgent care clinics. So all in all, Montefiore has 28 locations throughout the Bronx and beyond. So Montefiore pretty much dominates the Bronx and then goes north into Westchester County. So with all of this, Montefiore has 17,000 employees. So again, you know, with our size, our just the space that we take up in the Bronx, Montefiore is the largest employer in the Bronx. There's no other employer in any industry that we dominate in the Bronx and for employment in all areas. And at Montefiore, we also have this. This is an image from our paper-based job application. So everyone who works there has filled this out. Have you been convicted of a felony within the past 7 years? Check yes or no. And so because this question is very common, it comes in different iterations and different job applications, but basically it asks applicants to disclose their criminal history and to check a box. So a lot of times, you know, in this advocacy movement, we just refer to it as the box, something that they check off to disclose. And I also just want to give you a little highlight here. No, these are a little hard to read, but on this left-hand side, you know, that's all of Montefiore. That's the Bronx up there. That's all of Montefiore's centers. And you can see how it's spread out it is. And then on the right, this is actually an image from the Justice Mapping Center. And so this is showing prevalence of incarceration of men in New York within the five boroughs. That circled area, that's the Bronx. So, like, and you can see how lit up it is. Like, the Bronx is on fire. And so you could see, like, the within a small area, the incarceration rate that we experience in our community, and then also, like, just how Montefiore, then, you know, where we are and how we serve our community is, you know, and the overlap between that. And so that's why it's so important to actually address what's happening in our community. In New York State, so Bronx is just one area, but within New York State, I want to give you a little bit what's happening right now in terms of our justice-involved individuals. So currently, there are 56,000 people who are in either federal or state prison. There are currently roughly about 40,000 people who are on parole. Of those 40,000, of the people who are eligible to work, 62% are unemployed. This is the most recent number from like 2012. So like 62%, over half of parolees who are eligible to work are unemployed. So and these numbers right here, they don't even capture what is the whole picture. It's just a small fraction of the picture. In New York State, 7 million New Yorkers have at one point in their life experienced incarceration. So that 7 million, that represents 35% of the whole state's population. So one third of the state has experienced incarceration at some point in their life and still potentially face barriers in employment because of that. So Ban the Box, it's a campaign to remove questions of incarceration and conviction from applications. So it's an international campaign. It applies to both employment and to housing applications. It's here in the U.S. it's been around for about 10 years. It was started initially by All of Us or None, and also National Employment Law Project is another big group that's been very involved in this campaign. So what this means is that, not saying that employers cannot ask this question regarding criminal history, but what the campaign does is removes those questions from the initial application down to later in the hiring process. So that way people have actually a chance. They're not being screened out automatically based on that initial application. The law the policies that have been enacted in the United States does not actually remove before hire background checks. So here in the United States, there's actually 13 states that have banned the box, who have statewide policies regarding both public and or private employers and removing the initial question of incarceration and conviction from the employment application. Besides those 13 states, 18 states have either city or county ban the box policies. So you can see it's national. How big this campaign is. The wins that we've had. 13 states have statewide policies. In New York, we actually have 3 cities who have policies regarding ban the box. New York City, Buffalo, and Rochester all have policies regarding public employers, and Buffalo also has policies regarding private employers and ban the box. But it also, with all these successes, there's a big disconnect because like it's a kind of a piecemeal thing. There's no one universal thing. It's different states have different policies, different cities and counties have different policies. So there's no one universal thing. So addressing a big industry such as hospitals and healthcare can actually just be another major step forward in this campaign. So I'll introduce you to the audit study that we did. We did online applications with every hospital in New York State. The criteria we used is entry level and non-clinical, so no licensing. So this a lot of times went into like housekeeping and maintenance. We looked for 3 things on each application, and no job applications were actually submitted. We just started them. But we looked for, was there a box? And if there was a box, was the applicant allowed to explain? And what do I mean by that? Again, going back to Montefiore. So have you been convicted of felony in the past 7 years? If yes, please explain. So even though Montefiore only gives 2 small lines, we looked to see if like the employer, if an applicant checks yes, were they allowed to give some sort of context to their conviction, to give them a chance to explain what the situation was. And then we also looked if there was an EOE statement. And what I mean by that is, again, back to Montefiore, we are an equal opportunity employer. So again, there's many iterations on like how employers state this, but we wanted to see, again, just based on those qualitative studies out of UCLA, as people, returning citizens, saw this question as a barrier and sometimes forego the application altogether because of it. We wanted to see, how friendly, the application was. So if it does have the box, was the person allowed to give context, and did they get reinsured at the equal opportunity employer? So using chi-square test of independence, we examined for 3 different factors. We looked to see about population density was a factor for the presence of the box. So even though there's like very dense areas in New York State, like New York City and like the Bronx, most of New York is very rural. Like you go upstate and it's a very rural place. So we looked at each county, and based on we used the U.S. Census Bureau's definition of rural, suburban, and urban, and so we looked at each county the hospital was located in and categorized it based on that. We also looked at institution type. Again, a lot of the policies, like in New York City, we do have a policy regarding public employers, but we were wondering if like, there was a difference between public hospitals and private hospitals, and what that difference would be. So using the American Hospital Association's data viewer, we categorized each hospital as either public, private, nonprofit, or religious. And we also wondered if it was like a proximity to a prison was any way a factor. So we documented what, for each hospital if there's a prison located in the same county. Because again, upstate, it's very rural, and that's where most of our state and federal prisons are located. So overall, in our data analysis, we only included 200 hospitals. 9 hospitals were excluded based on they did not have any job openings that fit our criteria of non-clinical and entry level. So only 200 hospitals were included in the data analysis. Of those, 68% were found to have the box. Of those that had the box, 77% did have allow for explanation, but less than half the hospitals had an equal opportunity statement. So out of the three factors that we looked at, the proximity to prison, the institution type, and population density, the only thing that was found significantly associated was population density. Urban areas that have 1,000 people or more per square foot were less likely to have the box. And then both suburban and rural areas who had, suburban is 500 to 999 person per square foot, and rural is like less than 500 per square foot. Those were significantly found to be associated with box presence. So again, 2/3 of the hospital in New York State have the box. 77% of those that have the box allow explanation. Less than half had an EOE statement. No association with institutional proximity to prison, and it was significantly associated with a low population density. So with all of this, this just gives us like very, you know, very raw data, and it's kind of limited in scope. So where do we go from here? So it doesn't really give us an evaluation of the hiring practices. So what we did, what we're hoping this will do is just be a jumping off point for both, you know, Montefiore and New York and hopefully in other states and as we start to, you know, network together. What we really need is we need further research. We need to know, like, if a hospital has a box, does that really indicate, like, their attitude towards hiring, you know, returning citizens? For municipalities that have been the box, it's too soon to know if like there's been if that actually has an impact on their hiring practices or the employment rate for formerly incarcerated, and we need further advocacy as we move forward. Like again, this research was to you know to drive the advocacy campaign, and so we need to you know again further campaign by you know networking together and conducting this research and coalition building. So as we work together, there's a lot of places that we could also then reach out to. As we did this audit study, we tried to reach out to both Montefiore and some other major hospitals in the Bronx and in Manhattan to, you know, to their HR departments to get, you know, feedback, and we got like deadlines. No one wanted to talk to us. No one wanted to talk to about this topic. But there is an association for healthcare HR professionals. So you know there is opportunities to build a coalition together on both sides of the fence, from both the advocates' point and from like the HR's point within the hospital and healthcare systems. And also like Johns Hopkins has actually been a really good hospital who has been great working on this and who has very openly you know stated that they hire. Returning citizens into you know as hospital employees and have had great success with it. So with all of this, again, it's just a starting off point that I'm hoping to drive both us and other people. One of the doctors that I work with, Dr. Matt Anderson, has this great quote that's always just stuck with me. He said that if we think of hospitals as not just places to heal people, but as social institutions, then like hospitals and both doctors and healthcare providers can have the most major impact on the plague of prisons. Okay. Thank you.